Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Josie and I have scripture for you from John's letter to the church. 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7, 8, 9, and 11, and 12. Verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Trevor Barton is a reading teacher at an elementary school, a reading intervention teacher, and he writes about his work. He writes about how he sees God at work in the public schools and how he's endeavoring to share something of God's love and justice and grace with our youngest, those among us, the least among us, and our teachers and faculty. He has a thing he does every year called the Blue Whale's Heart Experiment or Exercise. And he begins by telling the kids that a blue whale's heart is as big as a Volkswagen. It's so big you can walk around in it. And of course, the kids naturally ask, what's a Volkswagen? And he describes a very classic automobile. He breaks up the group in reading groups, and on their tables are articles, short articles, and things from encyclopedias and pictures, photographs, etc. And he asks them, the kids, to brainstorm why they think a blue whale's heart is so big. And after 40 minutes, they get back together, and Kiera one year said, blue whales swim all over the world, so they need a humongous heart to be the motor. Sure, that's right. And Heavely said, blue whales can call each other from almost 1,000 miles away. They need a big heart to talk to each other. Okay. They swim in pairs, says Amari, so they need huge hearts to care for each other. What he calls this blue whale exercise always yields fascinating observations and conversations. And ultimately, the exercise always, without his planning on it, it veers away from the natural sciences to an exploration of the ways the students can have big hearts for one another instead of small hearts for one another. The blue whale exercise almost always yields conversations that talk about human love. Love is what John talks about almost exclusively in these 3,000 words that make up 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. It's a primer on the ethics of love and Christology, that is, God's love for us in Jesus Christ, Christology. The idea is nothing new. John says this love has been with us from the very beginning. It's the chief among Jesus's commandments. John says that Jesus' love is like a light, and those who live in that light are called to bear that light to others. Those who do not love their brothers and sisters, their neighbors, they are not in the light, but they are in the darkness. So, love one another, walk in the light, John would say. To read these words, this letter, this ethic about love is to read the word love at least 65 times. Love, love, love. He's serious about the Christian call to love. John can't talk about love more than he does. On Wednesday nights, you all know, we gather here and we welcome our dream family, the junior high school boys in our dream family, for a Wednesday Bible club or dinner. Dream, driven to reach excellence in academic achievement for males. DREAAM, Dream, Dream House, right? So they gather here on campus. We want them to feel affirmed. So they gather. When they walk through the doors downstairs in Centennial Hall, we greet them with applause. That's pretty cool. We start clapping. They're here. We share a mixer activity. Not mixers. A mixer activity downstairs. And then we head over to the chapel for a Bible story. And then we come back over to Centennial for dinner. We want these young people to feel welcomed and affirmed. Not all people feel welcomed and affirmed in a church. A church, in fact, is something that they're wary of, that they stay away from. Religion is bad. They don't want to go to mosque or synagogue or church. It's frightening. Bad things happen there. We want them to experience good things here. We want them to feel affirmed. We want them to see the church in a positive light. We want them to feel like they belong. And of course, what we really want is we want them to feel what?
Loved.
Yes. We don't want to talk about it, though we do talk about it a little bit. We want to demonstrate it. We want to live it. We want to get to know these young people. We have table conversation. We ask them how their day has been. We ask them what they want to be when they grow up. They ask them if technology is a good thing or a bad thing. And it's interesting to hear their responses. We ask them, you know, what's going on? As they loosen up and as they get to know us, we can ask them deeper, more poignant things. And we do. Our Cuban brothers and sisters might call this sobremesa. That is, talk above the mesa. Talk above the table. Table talk. Conversation around the table. Sobremesa. We gather, we collect at the end of the evening their prayer concerns. They're learning to write prayer concerns. And we pray together. And they're learning to bring what's on their heart to God in prayer. And they're learning empathy for one another because they're praying for one another and for moms and dads and for school and for athletic teams and for the dreams that they're living and dreaming and hoping for, the trips they're getting ready to take with their dream brothers and sisters. We pick up our dishes, we say goodbye, and next week we repeat the process. This simple gathering, it's really easy peasy to do. It's easy peasy for me. I'm not making the meal. That's kind of hard, I suppose, making a meal and cleaning up the meal and serving the meal. All that requires some bit of heavy lifting. And people, our people, donate their time to sit around those tables and to have those conversations. So there is some sacrifice, I suppose, involved in this, but it's really not really super hard to do. And this exercise on Wednesday is meant to embody what John is talking about. It's meant to put flesh and bone on this talk of love and light and justice and care that John is talking about. One of our Bible studies several weeks ago was the story about the friends who haul their buddy around on a mat because he's paralyzed. And they want to take him, their friend, to see Jesus. Remember the story? It's in Luke 5, the story of the paralytic. Well, they go to the house Jesus is at, but the house is packed with people. Jesus is preaching. The door is blocked. The window is blocked. The alley is blocked. The way is blocked. They don't go off for a milkshake and say, well, we tried. They will not be turned away. Their purpose will not be thwarted. So naturally, they climb up on the roof and they open it up. And with ropes, they lower their friend down through that roof in that ceiling and lay him down at the feet of Jesus so that Jesus can't miss him. Their love for that friend is not going to be thwarted. Their purpose will be achieved. Their goal will be reached. Now, what Jesus does, well, they don't know that, but they know that they're going to get their friend there. This parable invites us to ask all kinds of questions of ourselves. Do we have friends like that? Do you have friends who will go the extra mile for you? And this question, ultimately more important, are you that kind of friend for other people? Is that the kind of belief you have in friendship? Is that the kind of ethic your friendship takes? Jesus did the rest, of course. He healed the man, he forgave the man, and it's a new day. Nobody talks more eloquently, arguably, in the Bible than John. But nobody demonstrates that love more boldly than Jesus. And that's John's whole point. Jesus loves us no matter what. Jesus loved us when it was dangerous. Jesus loved us when we were shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Jesus' love did not waver. Such is the tremendous love that God has for us. We love, John says, we love because we have been first loved. That is, God has loved us first, always, forever, from the beginning of time, and that's why we can love in the first place. We can't love unless we've been loved. And John says clearly, you have been loved. Now, share that love with others. And when we share that love, when we love that way, that love grows and grows and grows. Give it all away, every bit of it, and it multiplies. No need to hoard this thing called love. That's what Trevor Barton notices in his school where he serves as a reading interventionalist. He notices when they have conversations, when they can slow down, when the day kind of wears on and the troubles at home settle for a minute, he begins to see God's love at work in this community that he's building. He's a teacher teaching reading, of course, but he's also secretly, subversively building community, building the shalom of God, the kingdom of God. That's what he's about. But he notices that when teachers and kids are getting along and loving one another, that love just grows. The school secretary told Trevor Barton this story. Jalen was in the church, or it was in the office, the school office, and he noticed across the way that Noah was having trouble tying his shoes. We all know kids can be cruel, and we know that there's a certain age at which when a kid can't tie his shoes, that's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the kid, and it's embarrassing for his friends. I don't know him. He can't tie his shoes. Jalen gets up and walks towards Noah, and the school secretary pays close attention, wondering if she's going to have to separate them. And Jalen kneels down and he ties Noah's shoe. And then he unties it. And he ties Noah's shoe a second time. And then he unties it. And then he looks up at Noah and says, "Watch." And then he says, "You try." And Noah and Jalen get to the business of learning how to tie shoes. They do the left shoe, they do the right shoe, and Jalen unties them both. And they do the left shoe and do the right shoe. And the school secretary asks Trevor Barton, "Has Jalen been part of your blue whale experience? Because Jalen has a heart at least as big as a blue whale's heart." often when we share communion here at this church, as a beginning to the great prayer of thanksgiving, we sing these words: "For the fruit of all creation, thanks be to God." And Joe helps sing it better. "For the gifts to every nation, thanks be." And the choir joins in. "For the wonders that astound us, for the truths that still confound." And then this line: "Most of all that love has found us, thanks be to God." God's love has found us. God's love has found us. And because of this love which leads the way, we can continue trying every day to love one another. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.